We're holding on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're holding about 10 lines or so from the bottom. Sholach later, Meshashi and Tusniya. 11 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about the Shniyos, the various relationships where Midoraisi you would have been allowed to marry them, but Drabanan, you not, because they're very similar to relationships Minatora, and therefore if you marry the further ones, you might come to marry the ones that are also Daraisa. And we talked about a lot about that so far, including when we say that we do apply it to generations further back or further down as well, and when not. Meshaushia from Tusniya, name of place, sent a message to Rapapi asking him, Yolamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, teach us the following din. Eshes achi avi ha'av, the wife of your father's father's brother. So in the diagrams, we're up now to number 125 on page 56 of Mari Yavamas. So you have two brothers. They're called over here God and David. God has a grandson, Yitzchak. David had a wife, Shifra. Would Yitzchak be allowed to marry Shifra? And the sister of your grandfather. So that would be the next diagram where the brother and sister, Menashe and Chana. Menashe has a grandson, David. So would David be allowed to marry Chana? Now, we know, of course, that the father's brother's wife and the father's sister are Arayas Daraisa. The one generation down, we said, was Shnius. The question is, does it apply two generations down? Midlamata ergo lamaila nami godrube. Do we say that since going downward, it would be an erva? Meaning, in other words, if instead of going upward in generations, if instead we were going downward, the one below it would be an erva lamaila nami godrube. Or, so therefore, do we say that even further up, we're gozer in it? Because again, given that a father's sister or a father's brother's wife are Arayas, do we say, therefore, that we extend it even to further generations up? Or maybe we can say, after all, the generations have been separated. It's already two generations distant from the actual era. And therefore, there's much less reason to be gozer on it. Now, to be sure, with some of the Arayas, we said that we keep on going up all the generations. We said that a mother's mother's mother, etc., for example, is Osir as Shnius, even though that's many generations away. But the question would be, do we apply that kind of thing in this case as well, or do we say that this? So do we say that here it's different? Toshma, Mahen Shnius. Well, so the answer is we can prove, because the Braisa had said that the Braisa had started listing what are the Shnius, and it didn't list these, implying that these should be mutter. So the Gemara says not necessarily, because you could say ton of a shayu. You could say the Braisa listed things and it left some out. It's often the case when a Mishnah or a Braisa lists things, the list is not exhaustive. Sometimes there are other things that are supposed to be included but were left out because it didn't want to give the whole list. So this could be an example of that. Well, then, as usual, the question is my shayu to high shayu. In that case, what else did it leave out? You can't say if it left out only one thing, then there has to be a reason for it. If it left out two or more things, then you could say, okay, it left out some things. So what else can we find? What other shnius can we find that should have been listed and were left out that would justify us saying that these should have been listed, were left out, but nevertheless, they are shnius? The answer is shayu shnius debate of chia. It left out the shnius that Rav Chiya lists in a braisa, which we're going to discuss soon on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. In the middle of the Amud, we're going to have a further list of, or near the top of the Amud, whatever. We're going to have a list of more shnius that Rav Chiya lists. So you could say that our Braisa that listed the Shnias left out those, and therefore it also left out the two that we were just talking about. Now, they themselves are two, obviously, but the Gemara is going to point out that so the Gemara could have just answered, look, these are two different relationships, the father's father's brother's wife and the father's father's sister. But they're similar enough that, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that they could have been counted as one. So therefore, we need to find something else. And the answer is the something else is the Shnias of Rechia. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amemer achshav be'eshes achi avi oviv." Amemer held that these are actually kosher. The wife of the brother of his father's father. So the first exact the first scenario that we had over here. So in diagram 125, Amemer would say that in fact Shifra is mutter to Yitzchak. And the sister of his grandfather. So in the second example, Chana would be mutter to David. So we asked the question. We said maybe, maybe not. Amemar says they are in fact allowed. And Tosfos discusses over here whether in fact the halacha is like Amemar. Anyway, Omelet of Hillel of Ashi. So Rav Hillel asked Rav Ashi, is that so? L'didi chazi le'shnias mar bered rabbana. I saw a list of shnias that was of Ma'ar Brei D'Rabbana, one of the chachamim of that time. It's also possible Rabbana sometimes can mean our Rebbe, meaning Rav Hillel was speaking to Rav Ashi. He might mean Rabbana means you, and Ma'ar Brei D'Rabbana therefore would be Ma'ar Brei Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi's own son. Whatever the case, Uchdivan Shitzri, you have 16 listed over there. Now, Uchdivan Shitzri Li'isura, there are 16 listed that are also. Now, where do we get 16? My lab tamni de masnisa. That would be 8 that were listed in the braisa that we learned on chofala from Aleph. The shis de beirachia. 6 more that we're going to have soon a braisa of rabchia list. Bahanach tarti. And then you have these two. So that would imply that these two, after all, are also not like a meimar says. So hoshitzri, that makes up 16. So the Gemara says, and according to your svara, anyway, isn't there something missing from the list? Shibsere havyan, aren't there really 17? We have another case that we discussed earlier on the Amud. The wife of the where your mother has a half brother from her mother's side, and that brother has a wife, and we said that case is also we weren't sure about it. But we ended up saying that it is also. So there's a 17th that wasn't listed in any braisa, but we still figured out logically that it's also. So anyway, the list is incomplete. So the Gemara says, "Holei kasha." That's not a question. Hanach tauti di damin lahadodi kachod choshev lahu. Because there are two that are very similar. The two that we just mentioned, the two that Rav Mesharshi and Mitusniya brought up, and which Amemar is saying on mutter. You could say that, again, we're trying to say not like a Meimar. Rav Hillel was arguing not like a Meimar. The halacha should actually be that they're also. And they're fairly similar because, after all, they both involve siblingship with the grandfather. And in both cases, one generation down would, in fact, be an Erev Daraisa, the father's brother, the father's brother's wife or the father's sister are both Arayas Minatoda. So you could argue, therefore, that the two of them are similar enough to be counted under one heading. So you're back down to 16. So in other words, you would say that, so you would have as follows. You'd have 8, so the count would be a little bit different. We'd have 8 from the Braisa that we quoted on Chafala from Aleph, 6 that we're going to have in the Braisa of Rabchia soon. Then we have 2 more. Then we have 1, which is really 2, or 1 which includes these two things involving your grandfather's sibling, your father's father's siblings, and then another one that would involve your mother's half brother's wife. So that would make 16.
How can you argue that the grandfather's level is the same as the father? I mean, it would be confused like the father. How can you argue a thing like that?
Why not? The same way as we've said all this time. That's what Shnias are.
Why, yes.
Any generation could be confused. The Gemara started with the question that maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe we say Isbalik Darisa. Maybe we say the generations are far away enough that we're not gozer on that. On the other hand, the fact is we see with some of these shnias, we see that we are gozer many generations away. We see, for example,
that's returning the question. I'm asking, what would the Gemara? Why would the Gemara think that a grandfather's generation is similar to a father?
Because it's only, on the one hand, it's only one generation away from something which is also Daraisa. The whole point is, the shnias are things where we have, it's one generation away or one degree away from the ones that are also Daraisa, and therefore we're asking them as a precaution. Well, then the fact is, the father's sister or the father's brother's wife would be an erva Daraisa. So maybe that is reason enough to say that we would extend that back even one generation further. On the other hand, maybe we would say it's far away enough that it's not really similar, and therefore there'd be no reason to be gozer. That was the exact question.
That's not the question.
Yeah, no, that is the question. In fact, there's a Tosfos earlier in the Masechta on Daf Gimel. The Rashash refers to it over here that says that after all, we sometimes say that we have a concept called brok hara davua, that a child is considered the leg of his father, in other words, like an extension of his father, and therefore, like we consider, it to be close enough, even though it's one generation further, to an extent that we wouldn't necessarily with, for example, sisters and other such collateral relations. So that's the question. So that's the question. Given that, after all, brakara davua, that therefore, for example, in our diagram 125, Moshe is a son of God and Yitzchak is a son of Moshe, and we know that for Moshe to marry Shifra would be an erva daraisa, maybe we would say brakara davua, and therefore we would put Yitzchak in that category as well, at least derabanan. Or maybe not, because again, ispalig dara, because after all, the generation ispalig darta, the generations are very far separated. It is two generations back. Maybe there's no reason to be gozer. That's the question. So the Gemara continues. The bottom line is, Reb Hillel says to Rav Ashi, I saw there was a mention over there of 16 arayas. No matter, fine, you want to count these two that Mishashi and Tusni was asking about, diagrams 125 and 126. You want to count them as two separate ones, or you want to count them, or as we're saying now, you want to count them as essentially the same thing. The bottom line is, it seems that those are included in the list of 16, and therefore they're also. Amale, so Rav Ashi answers him, Velitai Meich, nu, and according to your Svara, I have a cost of Lahatera, if there had been a list over there that said that they were mutter, me have a samchas alayhu, would you have relied on that list and said that it's a given that that's what it is? Demabre de rabbana michosim alayhu. After all, you said you saw it in the house or in the yeshiva of Mabre de rabbana, but did you see that he was actually signed off on it, that he said that this list is valid? So hashtanami dechtiv leisura lav ma'abere derabana chasim alayhu. The same way now, just because it says that it's ba'isur, he's not signed on it. It could be somebody put this up. Somebody put this list up in his yeshiva, but not necessarily is it accurate. So just because you found such a list doesn't necessarily, and you're deducing that these cases that we're talking about must be among the 16, that doesn't necessarily follow that whoever wrote over there that there were 16 in fact knew what he's talking about. Maybe, maybe not. From this actually comes, there's a popular expression that you often find in Sfarim and in Sfarim of the Rishonim and the Achronim, when there is something where we have, it says something, but we're not so certain whether it's accurate or whether it might have been misunderstood or mistranscribed or whatever. So they often use the expression Lav Ma'abar of Ashi Chosim Alayhu, that Ma'abar of Ashi has not signed off on it, which comes from our Gemara over here, where we're saying just because you saw this list doesn't mean you don't know its provenance and you don't know whether it's really accurate or not. So the bottom line is, Tosfos says there are different Rishonim that discuss the question whether, in fact, the halacha is like a meimar or not. Rabbi Hanano and Shiltus hold the halacha is like a meimar, so those two are mutter. On the other end, and the Rambam, for example, paskins like that as well. On the other hand, Tosfos says the Ri holds that not. Next, Tony Dvei Rav Chiya. Next, Rav Chiya taught a braisa that there were more shnias that we haven't talked about so far. Shlishi shebibnoi v'shebibitoi, the third generation away from through the son or through the daughter. So now we have on the next page we have diagrams one. We have 127 and 128. So you have a man's son's daughter or daughter's son's daughter. Both of those, Rav Chiya is saying that those are also shnius. So here you have an example, by the way, even though it's several generations away, and even though when it was daughter's daughter's daughter, then we already mentioned before that those are shnius. Here we're saying Rav Chiya is adding that also even when there are boys in between, as in the first example, we have two boys and then a girl, and the second one we have girl boy girl. Nevertheless, those are still considered shnius. the same thing with the same relationships from his wife. In other words, so if his wife had children from a previous relationship, then again his son's daughter or his daughter's son's daughter, all of those are shnia. On the other hand, and then Rav Chiya continues. So far we have four, and then another two. This is why we said before that Rav Chiya has six, because so far he had four: your son's son's daughter, your daughter's son's daughter, your wife's son's daughter, your wife's daughter's son's daughter, and now two more are. And then you have Revi Shabachamiv Shabachamoyse Shnia. Then you have the fourth generation. When it comes to his in-laws, so you have his wife. So this is diagrams 131 and 132. You have his wife's father's mother's mother and his wife's mother's mother's mother. So those Rav Chiya is saying are also considered shnius. So now in both cases we're talking three generations away, but you notice that Rav Chiya calls the ones downward, he calls them shlishi, and the ones upward he calls revi. Which that brings up the question. Why is it when we're going generations further up, then we count his wife and we count upward, his wife is one, his father-in-law is two, his grandmother-in-law is three, and his great-grandmother-in-law is four, and the same thing with his wife's mother's mother's mother. So why are we counting his wife as the first? As the first one in that, or Maishna Lamata, the like of Chashav Lola Ishtai. Whereas we said that when it comes to his wife's descendants, we're not counting his wife as the first one. We're saying his wife's child is the first generation, her grandson is the second one, and her great granddaughter is the third. Why are we being inconsistent in how we count it? And the answer is l'mayla de isurim mikoyach ishtei kaasi, because the answer is when we're going upward, when we're talking about his wife's grandparents and great grandparents, the isur comes as a result of his wife, because after all, once he's married to her, then he's also to her mother and to her grandmother. Those are arayas, because the Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry a woman and her mother or a woman and her grandmother. So therefore, we count the wife as well. Lamata, when it goes downward, the isur alav mikoyach ishtei kaasi, the isur is not really from the koyach of himself, because as the Gemara explains, we're not even necessarily talking about where he married this woman. We could also be talking about that. We could also be talking about when it comes to her children. We can also be talking about, for example, that he raped her. And then she has children. So he's not married to her, but nevertheless they're also as shnius. So therefore they're not necessarily from her koyach. So loika choshiv la. So it doesn't count her. So therefore it counts beginning from her children. So we're not talking about, in other words, that these children came from that rape themselves. Now, obviously, they're his children. They're obviously off limits to him. We're talking about that he, we're talking about that these are children of hers from a previous relationship. Now he had a relationship with her outside of marriage. Nevertheless, we're so had he actually married her, then, for example, her daughter would be also to him daraisa. Because not, then the whole thing is only shnis. So the Gemara says,
are the children of the shnis mamzerim?
Say what? Children of shnis are not mamzerim per se. The two who are shnis are also to stay married, and based in will force them to get divorced. But if they had any children, they're not considered mamzerim. There is, by the way, there's an interesting tshuva of the Ritva in this connection, where they brought him a case where there were a couple who had gotten married in violation of the laws of shnius, and they demanded that Beis Din allow them to stay married for the sake of their children or whatever, and they threatened, if you don't, then they said, we'll just go and shmadzich, and then we'll go join some other religion that will allow us to stay married. So the question was, do we maybe give them a dispensation so they don't do that? And the Ritva says, absolutely not. The Chachamim made a gzera of shnius. We're going to uphold that gzera. We're not responsible for what the Shoyim are threatening to do. They want to go shmadzich. That's their problem. But we're not going to go and be lenient on these halachas. But yeah, no, it doesn't. There's no mamzerus from it. Mamzerus would only be from arayas to arayas. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? D'vahab ben ishtoy or bas ishtoy? What about the cases of his wife's son or his wife's daughter? The isur mikoyach ishtoy kasi, and there the isur comes from the koyach of his wife, because only because she's his wife, only then are his wife's son's wife. Or his wife's daughter, only because of that are they aser, v'loy chashivla, and still we're not counting that and calling them the second generation. So the answer is I did tana shloisha duris lamata diday. So the answer is different. The reason why when it comes to the wife's descendants in Rav Chiya's Braisa, the reason why we're calling them the third generation down. Since we mentioned three generations down from him, and we didn't count him, the same way for parallelism, when we count downward from his wife, we also don't count her, we start the count from her child. So that's why. So the terminology is either way we're talking three generations away, but when we're talking about his own relatives, we're not counting him. When we're talking about his wife's relatives, also when we're going downward, we're also not counting her. But when we go upward from his wife, which is something that we're dealing with in Shnius regarding her, we're not dealing in this Braisa with his ancestors, because those we dealt already with in the previous Braisa. So then we use different terminology and we call his wife the first generation and go up from there. Okay, so now the question is, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, Shnius debate of Chia, yesh lahem hefsek or ein lahem hefsek? These Shnius that Rav Chia listed, is there a break in them or not? In other words, for example, as far as the man's own ancestors, so the man's own mother's mother, etc., we said there's no hefsik. We said that it goes up to all the generations. So does the same thing apply to these six that Rav Chiya, and on the other hand, we had some of them, we said before, there is a hefsik. For example, some of the ones that we said that involve siblings. So some of the ones that involve siblings or in-laws or whatever, we said there is a hefsik with them. It only applies in one generation and it doesn't apply to another generation further away. So now, what is the story with these ones that are pre-listed? Is there a hefsik or not? So Toshma, we can prove. The Omer Rav, Dalad, Noshim, Yashlan, Hefsik, Betulai. Rav had said that there are four women where there's a hefsik of the list of Shnius that we had so far. We said that Rav had said there were four. Rav himself could only come up with three, and then Ze'iri came up with a fourth one, but Rav disagreed with it. So the true loy, apparently there are no others. So apparently every other shnia, there's no hefsek. So that would imply that includes the ones that are pre-listed. The Gemara says that's not a proof. Rav may be talking about in reference to the Braisa that we quoted on Chof Aleph, Amar Aleph, which listed the first eight of the shnias. Then we're saying among those, Rav is saying there were four of them where there's a hefsek. Not necessarily is Rav addressing the ones that are in Rav Chiya's Braisa, which we hadn't yet brought at that point. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa, we said before, Rav Chiya had said in his Braisa, Shlishi or Ravi. He said the third generation down from his wife or the fourth generation up from his wife, implying Shlishi or Ravi ain't Tfei Loi, implying only that far and no further. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe it means Duma Mishlishi Ve'elach, Mirivi Ve'elach. Maybe it means from the third and downward or from the fourth and upward. Maybe it includes them as well. So we can't really be sure. So now there's machlokas rishonim. What happens with this? First of all, is it possible that maybe the question of the Gemara about Shnias debate of Chia is the question referring to all of them, or is it only referring to some of them? The Ramban seems to say that it applies only to some of them. Well, that would mean the rest of them. In fact, the Gemara doesn't even have a question. Of course, they apply Lamaila and Lamata without Hefsek. Furthermore, even if we say the question applies to all six of them. Even if we say the question applies to all six of them, the question would be since the Gemara left the question unresolved, what do we do? So one way of looking at that, the Rambam holds that in that case we can be makel. Look, it's a suffix d'rabbanan. Suffix d'rabbanan we know is lakula. Therefore, we would say that those in fact do get interrupted. So you have the ones that Rav Chiya listed are also, but not further than that. So for example, let's say his wife's great-granddaughter, we said, would be also tame, but his wife's great-great-granddaughter would be mutter, because the Gemara asked the question and didn't resolve it, and suffered the Rabban and Lakula. On the other hand, the Sefer Yireim says that we have to be machmir. It's not really considered a suffered the Rabbanon, because a suffered the Rabbanon would be, for example, when we're not sure of the scenario, when we're not sure of the circumstances or something. Here it's just the Gemara left the question open. That doesn't necessarily mean, and then the Gemara brought two possible ways that we could understand, maybe, maybe not. That can't necessarily be considered a suffix that I bought. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. It mentions first the opinion that they're also, and then for each one of them, it says the Rambam holds that it's mutter. Next. So now, Omale Rava L'Rav Nachman, Chozi Mar Hay Mirabbanan De'osim Mar Rava. Rava says to Rav Nachman, who was one of his Rebbeim, Rebbe, look, there's this Talmid Chacham who came from the west, from Eretz Yisrael, but Omar, and he said, Bo B'Mar Rava. They ask in Eretz Yisrael, Gozru Shnias Begerim, or like Gozru Shnias Begerim. Did the Chachamim make the Gzera of Shnias to apply to Gerim as well? So suppose, for example, you could have that. So let's say, for example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say a ger comes and he's married to his grandmother. Now, if they had been Jews, then that would have been Shnias. But like this, as a goy, he was married to his grandmother. So now he and his grandmother, let's say, which is also his wife, both come to convert. Do we tell them they have to get divorced or not? So that's the question. So Rava says, so what do you think about that, Rav Nachman? Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, Hashta, well, let's consider. Uma erva gufa, let's make a kavachomer. Madach, when it comes to arayas themselves. Now, arayas, there are certain arayas that are also to Bnei Noyach. For example, a Ben Noyach is not allowed to marry his mother. Or his sister from his father's side, or there's a few different relations that he's not allowed. But most of the arayas that are mutter to Jews are also mutter to goyim. So even when it comes to erva, when a person becomes a ger, as the Gemara is going to say soon, katan shenoylad dami, he's considered like a newborn. Therefore, he doesn't have any relationships from before. So really, on a daraisa level, there shouldn't be a problem with him marrying any of his relations. Meaning, if let's say a goy and his sister become, or a goy and his mother come to become gerim, in principle, midaraisa, they should be allowed to get married. And the only reason we say is not ilav shelo yom uboin l'kedusha chamura l'kedusha kala, were it not for the problem that you're going to have, they're going to say, look at this, we came from a stringent kedusha to a lighter kedusha. In other words, they're going to think, how is it possible? I was also to marry this woman as a goy, and now you're telling me as a Jew I'm allowed to? What is Yiddishkeit less, does it care less about arayas than even b'nei noyach do? So were it not for that concern, loy gozru b'hu rabbanan, the Chachamim wouldn't have even made the gzera. So the only reason why the Chachamim say that a ger is not allowed to marry certain close relatives is because of that. Shnias mi boya. Would it need to be said about shnias? Needless to say, therefore shnias am mutter, because even the arayas themselves is only a gzera de rabbanan, and therefore shnias, to say that they would be also as well, is going too far. The Ramban, by the way, brings up a very interesting point. He says maybe one possibility why the Gemara was even asking the question is because you have in certain religions, and he mentions, for example, the Christians, they have their own ideas of what exactly is are considered arayas, what relationships are considered close enough that they're not allowed to marry. In some ways, those parallel the ones that we were discussing in Ars Suria. In some ways, they even go beyond them. So the question would be, well, are we concerned that they're going to say, Kedusha Chamura, Kedusha Kala, that they're going to say, for example, as a Christian, they wouldn't have allowed me to marry so-and-so because she's within a certain degree of relationship of mine. Now you're telling me that as a Jew, I'm allowed to? And Rav Nachman is saying, we're not worried about that. It's one thing as far as the Arayas themselves. It's another thing as far as the Shnias. So Omer Rav Nachman, Gerim, Hoyova, also the Yad, the name of Uhu Milsa. So Rav Nachman says, by the way, since we're talking about Gerim, let's say another din relating to them. Achin min ha'eim lo ya'idu. Suppose, in general, when you have two Gerim who are brothers from the mother's side, so both of them together, or one after the other, it doesn't matter, became Gerim, lo ya'idu, l'chatchila, we should not allow them to say Eidus in Beis Din. Because after all, it's one thing if they share the same father, then not necessarily do they actually share the same father. Short of DNA testing, we don't really know. So therefore, we might have reason to say that look, they're gerim anyway, and gershin is gair katan shenolod. So we don't care so much if one of them says edus on behalf of the other, because anyway, we don't know whether to begin with they were even biological brothers. But when they come from the same mother, there's no question, of course, that they come from her. The mothership is never or almost never in doubt. So therefore, l'chatchila, we shouldn't allow them to say edus, one on behalf of the other. V'imei idu, edus and edus. But the fact is, if they did say edus, then v'dieved, their edus is kosher, because after all, gerush and iskayer is kakot and shenola, they're considered like newborn children, and therefore any relationships that they had when they were goyim are broken off. On the other hand, achin mina av, when the two of them are brothers from the father, and then they became gerim, then they can say edus lahatchila, because we don't consider the fact that they have the same father is of no consequence in halacha. Rashi uses the expression rachmana afkir lezera mitzvi, that the Torah says in effect that the seed, that the descendants of a mitzvi or a goy in general, are considered the hefker. It's considered like they don't have a relationship with their father. I said it wrongly before, actually, when it's the erva that's also to a ben noyach is actually when it's a sister from his mother's side, not from his father's side. A sister from his father's side wouldn't be an erva to a ben noyach, but a sister from his mother's side would. Anyway, so the same thing. So the same thing. Reb Nachman is saying, by the same token, if these two gerim are brothers from the father's side, they can say edus to each other because even as goyim, they weren't really considered brothers lahalacha. But if they're from the mother's side, whereas as goyim, they would have been considered brothers. L'halacha. So now, after they're gerim, l'chatchila, they shouldn't say edus, but for the evidence, it's fine. Amema, on the other hand, says no. Even if they're brothers from the mother's side, they could say edus one on behalf of the other, even l'chatchila, because the fact is gerushin is gair kakot and shenayim. So the Gemara asked, "Why shnomei arayas? So why taka is it different than arayas? Where we said that with arayas there are certain ones that were asking them, and the answer is erva lakol masura. Because when it comes to erva, is up to anybody. Everybody gets married. So therefore, if you allow him to stay married to a woman who would have been an erva to him as a as a ben noyach, then he might also, or for that matter, or no, that, so then he might come to be, people might come to be matirah by born Jews as well. Not everybody knows this concept of gershon is guy caught in shenor l'dami. On the other hand, Eidos, the Beis Din, the Surah, Eidos is up to Beis Din. So even if Beis Din allows two brothers, one to testify on behalf of the other, that's still not Beis Din is going to know the difference between that and two born Jews who are brothers. The Gershon is guy, Kotten Shenolad, dummy. They know the concept of Gershon is guy, Kotten Shenolad, so they're not going to get mixed up. Whereas the rest of the world might get mixed up, and therefore we don't want to allow it. Tosfos actually is a long Tosfos over here, Erevah L'Kol Masura, that discusses, we said before that it's a matter of Bona Mikdusha Chamura, Mikdusha Kala. So Tosfos distinguishes between different kinds of relationships. There are relationships where we say that we would have been matirit because we don't want them to say we came from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala. And then there are other ones where those things don't apply to them anyway. But the problem is that if we allow them to, then they're going to, then people are going to think that born Jews are allowed to do it as well. So different reasons that apply to different kinds of arayos. There's also a difference whether they want to marry them now or whether they were married before. Mishnah says, "Mishi yeshlei och mikol makom." If a man has a brother of any kind, and we'll see in the Gemara what that means, mikol makom, zoyka kas eshes ochiv leyibum, then he creates a zika that his brother's wife is going to need yibum. So in other words, so the Gemara is going to say, "Och mikol makom" includes, for example, a mamzer. So let's say, for example, Reuven has a brother Shimon who is a mamzer. Nevertheless, they both share the same father. Nevertheless, even though Shimon is a mamzer, he can't marry this woman. Nevertheless, there's still a zika. So he's going to have to do chalitza. But achiv hu l'chol davar, and he's considered his brother for all purposes, as we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Chutz mimi sheyesh le'och min hashikho min ha'evedetz kechavim, with the exception of if he has a brother where his father had a child with a shivcha knanis or with a goita, we're there. That's not considered his brother at all lahalom. So if you have Reuven. So if you have Reuven, and then Reuven's father also had relations with a shivcha or a goita and had a child with her, that child is not considered Reuven's brother for any purpose in halacha, and therefore there's no zika. And even if that child later on were to be nisgayer, again, we just said gershon nisgayer katan shenor l'dami. Vice versa, continues the Mishnah, mishi yesh le ben mikol makom, a person who has any kind of son, even if that son, for example, is a mamzer, then the fact that he exists, Pater is his father's wife from Yibum, even though, for example, he's a mamzer. And that son would be chayev misa if he hits his father or if he curses him. He'd be chayev misa, which the Torah says. And he's considered a son for all purposes. For example, the Gemara is going to say, as far as Yerusha, with the exception of if he has a father, if he has a child from a shivcho, from a goita, we're there. That's not considered his child at all. So if a person had relations with a goita and had a child, but he had no Jewish children, and later on he died, then his wife is going to need yibum or chalitza, because the fact that he has a child from this goita or from this shivcha doesn't count. She's not considered his child. That child is not considered his child. There is an interesting point that the Goinim first brought up. What about if the brother is a mumer? What about if the brother is a meshumad, Rahman al-Tlan? So there were some of the Goinim, Rav Nachshon Goin and others, that said that in fact he doesn't count either because he's a meshumad and therefore he's out of the picture. Therefore there's no zika as a result of him. On the other hand, many Rishonim disagree with that and say that nevertheless, Yisrael, Achmi Shechati, Yisrael, who he may be a Meshumad, but he's still a Yid, and therefore there is a Zika, and Chalitza will be necessary. There were a number of cases over time, and there's cases that are dealt with a lot in Shilas Atrubas, where they had just that, where a woman's husband's only brother was a Meshumad, and you had a problem over there trying to get the guy to agree to do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Mikol Makom La'asu Yemai. When we say that he has a brother, Mikol Makom, what are we coming to include? Amar Rabbi Yehuda La'asu Yemamzer. It comes to include even if his brother is a mamzer. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, Ochiv. Well, obviously, why do we need to be told? Obviously, he may be a mamzer, but he's still his brother. The answer is, Ma'u Detema. You would have thought that you would have thought leilach ach va'achma mebnei Yaakov. You would have thought that you would have thought that we should learn by Xeda Shava on the word achim from the sons of Yaakov, which we learned before. We learned at the beginning of the perek that that's how we learn that that's how we learn that it means brothers from the father's side, because Yaakov's sons all shared the same father. So we should extend that Xeda Shava and say Malahalam Sharon Velipsulim. They are all the 12 sons of Yaakov were kosher, none of them are Mamzerim. Achkan Sharon Velipsulim. You would think maybe the same thing over here, or he was only considered a brother for purposes of Yibum only if he's kosher. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah wants to tell us that not. So the question is, well, how do you know Takanat? Maybe indeed, only if the brother is kosher, is he considered a brother? The answer is, Kivindal Inin Yibu Mifter, Mifter Nifter, since when it comes to the generation downward, which we said in the second part of the Mishnah, that if a person has a child who is a mamzer, then that's nevertheless considered his child to the extent that his wife is potter from Chalitza and Yibum. So since we see that regarding that part, he pater is his father's wife, then meaning, in other words, therefore, that he's considered his son, Mizkak Nami Zokik, therefore, it works also that way when it comes to brothership, that he causes there to be a Zika, even though he's a mamzer. So even if he's the only brother, then nevertheless, there still is a Zika, and he needs to do Chalitza. And the Mishnah continued, which the Gemara is going to learn soon, how we know that, how do we know that itself, that a child is a mamzer, is considered a child for that purpose, that we're going to get to in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, that brother who's a mamzer is considered a brother for all purposes. So the Gemara says, L'may hilsa, regarding what halakha, it includes the Yoshei, first of all, that brother would inherit him. If he dies childless, Then, let's say, for example, it's not a matter. So let's say, for example, Yibum is not being done. When Yibum is being done, the brother who does Yibum yarshins his property anyway. We're going to talk about that later in the Masechta, in the next parak. But even if there's no Yibum, even if he does Chalitza, but if he's the only, nevertheless, because he had no children, then therefore his brother is yarshin him. This brother who's a mamzer also joins in that. And also that a kohen can become tamei for a brother to bury a brother of his, even though that brother is a mamzer. So the Gemara says, "Pshita achivu." Again, isn't it obvious? He is his brother. Why should we think these halachas wouldn't apply? The answer is sakra dechamina. You would have thought the pasuk says that the most people, most dead bodies, a kohen is not allowed to become tamei for. Only for his relative who is close to him. Now we learn in a braisa that the word she'eroi, which literally means his close relative, refers to his wife. So we learn from that either the pasuk lists the other six relatives that he can give a tamei for, his parents, his siblings, and his children. It doesn't explicitly mention his wife, but we learn his wife from the word she'eroi. So uchtiv lo yitama ba'al ba'amav lahichaloi. Then a couple of psukim later, it says a husband should not become tamei among his people to defile himself, to desecrate himself, which means yesh baal shemitamei v'yesh baal she'en mitamei, implying that there are certain cases where a husband can be mitamei and certain cases not. Ha'ketzad, what does that mean? Mitamei ulo ishtik she'era. He can only become tamei when his wife is kosher, was allowed to be married to him. Ve'en mitamei ulo ishtik psula. He cannot be mitamei when his wife is posel. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, lo yitama baal ba'amav, when he's a husband among his people, but lahechaloi, but it was the kind of marriage that desecrates him, where he as a kohen was also, then lo yitama, then he's not allowed to become tamei. Which, by the way, the word ba'amav means among his people, meaning if she is a real mes mitzvah, if there's nobody around to bury her, well then the rule for her would be the same as for any other mes mitzvah, and he buries her. But other than that, when he's ba'amav, when he's among his people, meaning there are other Jews around, then he can't be matame for her because she was possible to him. So given that, hochinami, you would have thought by the same logic, matamehu la'och kosher, the ein matame la'och possel, you would think by the same logic, a kohen can become tamei only for his brother who is kosher, but not for his brother who is possel, who is a mamzer. Kamash balan, therefore we need to be told that not. And again, the ema hochinami, how taka do you know? Maybe he can't become tamei for such a brother. The answer is, because there, when he's married to a wife that he's also to be married to, eventually he's going to have to divorce her. So even as of now, they still are married. We can consider as though they're already divorced. She stands to be removed. In other words, very soon, Beis Din is going to force him to divorce her. So before they had a chance to do that, she died. Then we're saying that he can't be metamei for her. But after all, here it's his brother. A brother is a brother, no matter what. There's no separating from him. Therefore, we have to say that he can be metamei for him. But that's what we mean. That is, the brother who's a mamzer is still considered his brother for all purposes in halacha. So we're saying, as far as yibum, as far as yarshining him, and as far as that if the brother is a koyin, that he can be metamei for him. Now, we said, chutz mi yishiyesh le'och min ha-shivcho min ha-avedes kecharim. We said an exception to that is if his brother is from a shivcho or from a goita. So my timer, why is that? Because the Torah tells us by an Eved Ivri, we know that an Eved Ivri, his master is allowed to give him a shivcho knanis to have children with her. And the Pasuk says, when the Eved Ivri leaves, then the woman and her children will belong to her master, meaning in other words that the children follow the mother. So as far as a shivcha, we see clearly from that the children follow her. Rashi explains, as far as a goita, later on in the sugya, it's going to explain, we're going to quote a pasuk that shows that the children of a goita follow her. We're going to talk about later on Chav Gimel Amad Aleph. We actually had it at the end of the previous perek as well. So a brother from a shifcho, from a goita, is not considered his brother at all, even though biologically it's his brother, but lahalacha is not considered. Then we said in the Mishnah, Mishi yesh leben mekom makom poter kula, that if he has a son of any kind, then it patrus his wife from chalitzur yibum. So again, mekom makom la'asur yimai, what does that word mekom makom come to include? Amar Rav Yehuda le'isur yimamzer. Again, it comes to include where he has a son with a mamzer. So my timer, now why is that? Why do we say that a child is a mamzer should be considered his child? Because the pasuk says, when it comes to yibum, that if a man dies and he has no son, the word ein loy, we douch in ayin olav, we douch in the word ein as ayin, check into it carefully. You have to check carefully. You have to see whether he has any kind of children, and a mamzer, after all, is considered his child. So therefore, la halacha. So therefore, it means that he still has a child. How exactly we darshan ein loy ayin olav? There's on the side over here. There's a long note from that explains from the Aruch and from the smeh of how exactly we darshan it. The Pnei Yeshua also points out that there's many times in the Torah where it says ein and we don't darshan like that. So only specifically where the Gemara has reason to say that it didn't have to say the word ein at all, then we darshan. And in many other places where it says ein, then it was needed for the simple meaning of the pasuk. So therefore, we don't darshan it. But over here, we do. Okay, so then we said in the mission of a chayev amakos, we said, by the way, this child was a mamzer, would be chayev for hitting or cursing his father. So the question is, am I? Why would he be chayev misa for that? Kori kan v'nosi ba'am choloysar. After all, don't we have to apply over here the pasuk that says you're not allowed to curse a leader among your people, and that means ba'oise maisa amcha. So it means that this din of you're not allowed to curse and you're not allowed to hit, only applies, that there's a punishment for it, only applies when he's oise maise amcha, only when he's acting the way a yid should. This person obviously did not, because he had relations with an erva and produced a mamzer. So that being the case, then why should the son be chayiv misa for hitting or cursing him? Now, we're not saying necessarily that he's allowed to, but at least that he shouldn't be chayiv misa for it. The answer is k'da'amra pinchas, but it mishmei de rapapa, ba'oise truva. The same way as we had something that Rapinchas said in the name of rapapa, that we're talking about a case where he did truva. We had a case at the end of Chagiga when we talked about over there about, for example, that ganovim came into a house and were concerned. They may have been metame, everything in the house, but now when they're doing truva, if they say we didn't touch anything in the house, then therefore, and therefore it's not tame, then we can take them at their word because now they're doing truva. So hochanami ba'oisa truva, kisha also truva, the same thing over here can be applying where the father has since done truva, and therefore, so now he's oisa ma'ise amcha, so now if the son hits or curses him, it would be like hitting, or it would be like any normal case where a son does that to his father. So the Gemara says, "Bahai bar tshuva, are you telling me that a person who did that, who produced the mamzer, is able to do tshuva?" Well, Tanan, we learned also in Chagiga, Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Ezel mu'uvas lo yuchal liska. And what is an example of when the pasuk says a crooked thing that can't be made straight? Zahabala erva v'hoidin ben mamzer means where a man had relations with an erva and he fathered a mamzer. So we see, in other words, that it's considered a crooked thing that can never be made straight. So how can we say that he's able to do tshuva and be considered oisa maisa amcha? The answer is hashtamia, oisa maisa amcha. Okay, but the bottom line is right now he is oisa maisa amcha in the sense he did whatever he could for tshuva. Fine, he can't help the fact that now there is already a mamzer, that already exists. The Alter Rebbe talks about at the end of Perek Zayin of Tanya, that fine, in that sense then, you know, that he's created, there's something over there in Klippa which he can't undo, unlike other areas of Tshuva where you're able to undo completely. So fine, he can't. He can be an exceptional level Baal Tshuva, as it talks about over there in Shiurim Sefer HaTanya, where you have the story over there involving the Alter Rebbe and the Mittel Rebbe and a Chosid, and a Chosid who did Tshuva, where he had fathered Goyish children, and eventually when he did Tshuva, the Eibishter arranged that his Goyish wife and children died, but normally it's not. But at least the point is, even before that, he did whatever he could for Tshuva, so there's still the Mamzer still exists, but nevertheless, the fact that he did Tshuva, we can call him Oysa Maisa Amcha because he did that. Okay, so since we're talking about where his father has children through a goita, so now the Gemara is going to start a new discussion, which is eventually going to circle back to that, where a person has a sibling from a goita or from a shikha. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, if a man has relations with his sister who is also his father's wife's daughter, so his father is in fact married to this woman. So we have diagram 133 illustrates this, where Reuven has a half sister Chana from a different marriage of his father Yaakov. So then, Chayev Mishum Achoyse Umishum Bas Eches Aviv, he's going to be Chayev on two grounds. Number one, she's his sister, and number two, she's his father's wife's brother. She's his father's wife's daughter, and both of those are Arayas Minatara. So it would mean if it was B'shoigig, he's going to have to bring two Chatars. Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda Omer, Ene Chayev El Mishum Achoyse Bilvad. Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda says that no, he's only Chayev on the grounds that she's his sister, half sister, whatever. But not on the grounds that she's his father's she's his father's wife's daughter. So my time I did Abbanon. So why do the Chachamim say that he's Chayev on both grounds? So Amri, they say like this: the pasuk says the erva of your sister, whether she's your father's daughter or whether she's your mother's daughter, and a couple of psukim later it says ervas bas eshes avicha meledes avicha. Then a couple of psukim later it says the erva of your father's wife's daughter, who is born from your father, achoischahi, she is your wife. So lomali, so why do we need two? Once we have the first one that says whether it's your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, either way it's an erga. So why do we need the extra one? So shmami no lachayv mishma chosi mishma seishas ovik. Evidently, it must mean that a person that if he had relations with her, then he's chayv on both grounds. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Omar. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. So what does Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda answer to that? He says Omar kra chos chahi. Fine, but the pasuk continues in the first pasuk, it says, or in the second pasuk, actually, it says achos chahi. It says she is your sister, and that's a miut. Mishum achosay atam achayva. You can only be mechayiv him on the grounds that she's his sister. V'yatam achayva mishum bas eishes ovi. You can't be mechayiv him on the grounds that she's his father's daughter. The word he is a miut. Virabonon. So what are the Chachamim answer to that? Hay achoischahi mai abile. What are they doing with that word achoischahi? The answer is miboyelahu lechayver al achoise bas oviv uvas imay. They say we need that to tell us what if this is a full sister of his. The earlier pasuk says if she's his father's daughter and if she's his mother's daughter. So that would mean if it's one or the other. But what about if she's both his father's and his mother's daughter, a full sister? So we need to be told that she's still chayev for her. Now you would say, isn't that a kavah chomer? Loima she'ein mazhirin miradin. But you can't warn a person in any law in the Torah based on a kavah chomer. to have a warning, and as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, to have a punishment, you have to have something that it says explicitly in the pasuk, or something learned with one of the other midas shatoron nedreshes behem. So therefore, just because a person is chayav for his father's daughter or for his mother's daughter, wouldn't show necessarily that he's chayav for his full sister, which is both his father's and his mother's daughter, were it not for the word achoschet. So what does Rabbi Yosi answer to that? Fine, then the Torah only had to write the word achoscha. He lomali. Why does it have to say the word he? That would mean mishum achoscha. It comes to tell you the miut that he's not chayev on the ground that she's his father's wife's daughter. What did the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, no, that's not enough. Even though it says the word achoscha, nevertheless, it also had to say the word he. You shouldn't think that, generally speaking, you would say that you shouldn't think that in general you usually are allowed to derive a lab from a gzeirah shava. So in other words, you would say that here, you would say, so why would it say achoscha over here? Because you could say milsa de asya b'kavachomer tarach b'kosav lakros. Sometimes you have something which you could have learned from a kavachomer, but nevertheless the pasuk takes the trouble to write it out. So you wouldn't have known from here the concept that ein mazhirin min adin. You would say, okay, this is an exception. Usually mazhirin min adin. Here, for whatever reason, Hashem chose to write it actually out in the Torah rather than leaving it to a kavachomer. Therefore, the Torah added the word he to make it very clear. Where it's not just a case of you could have learned it from a kavachomer, but instead we're writing the word achoscha. No, we're writing achoscha and he, which tells you that you can never learn not only here but anywhere else in the Torah. We have a binyan av from here that you can't learn. You can't derive a lav from a kavachomer. So what does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, in that case, then the words achoscha hi could have been mentioned in the earlier pasuk when it says achoscha basavicha oy basimecha. And there we look now that earlier pasuk. So what it is like this: that earlier pasuk achoscha basavicha oy basimecha is talking about where there was no marriage at all. His father had relations with a woman outside of marriage and had a child with her. And had a daughter with her. So then the Torah is saying, nevertheless, she's an erva because she's your father's daughter or because she's your mother's daughter. So now the later pasuk ervas baseishes avicha is talking about when your father was married to the woman and then they had a daughter. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, if you're going to tell me that in the case where they were married, you're going to say the sister is chayav, that you're chayav for the sister on two grounds, then the Torah should have taken those words, achos chayi, and put them in the earlier pasuk, which is not talking about a marital relationship at all, which is talking about where the father had raped or otherwise had a relationship with a woman outside of marriage, and they had a daughter. And then the pasuk should add the words achos chayi to tell you that even if now the sister is a full sister of yours, let's say they had relations twice, and one time she was born and one time you were born, so you're full brother and sister, but there was no marriage, never, and you would say that ein mazhirin min adin, and therefore it would say achos chayi. Why instead is it putting the words achos chayi in the later pasuk regarding where your father married this woman? Therefore, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says it must be to tell us a miut that the fact is even though they're married, nevertheless you're still not adding a second issur from the fact that they're married. There still remains only the issur of that she's your sister. Okay, so we'll continue that. We'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Yeah.